Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and today on Hacker Public Radio we're going to be talking to Pascal Lazier of the FOSDEM, Free and Open Source Software Developers European Meeting, which according to Wikipedia is a non-commercial volunteer organization, organized European event centered around free and open source software development. Pascal, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Hi there, everyone.
Are you having a good day today?
Oh, busy. I'm in the middle of preparation, so it's the last stage till the event happens, so that's always a very, very busy time of the year, quite obviously. Yeah.
So can you tell me what time the event is on, what days it's on?
Yeah, so essentially it's on the 4th and 5th of February and takes place in Brussels, so it's a weekend. Both days are packed with sessions and talks all the time, and we do have a social event on Friday evening, which is much appreciated. Actually, I suspect many people to come only for that purpose, but which is our beer event on Friday. So yeah, it's essentially on a weekend, and just to give you an idea of how busy it is, we probably break the 400 session barrier this year, I guess. That is packed on 2 days then.
You have 400 concurrent sessions?
No. In total. We should. So we had 330, 340, I think, past years, but we have a few more rooms this year, so I guess we'll be around 400, yeah.
Crikey, that's a lot of conferences. We'll be just happy to have 400 attendees. So how many people would you expect to attend then?
That's an interesting story on its own because, I mean, entrance is free of charge and we don't even have a registration system. So basically you just show up there, go there, and that's it. That's very nice and very important to us, but also makes it quite difficult for us to track or have an estimation of the number of people are there. A very safe estimation is around 5,000 people, is what we guess.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, first of all, let's just take a little step back here. That's event is going to be on a Friday night, the Saturday, and the Sunday. So, how would somebody get there? Would it be safe to assume that you get to Brussels midi, and then how do you get out to the event from there?
Oh, our website actually lists, there's a link on it's fosdem.org. We have a link with travel information. So essentially, well, the good part is Brussels is rather easy to go to. So be it by train, by car, or even by plane, which is also an important point for the conference. We're very easy to reach, at the very least from Europe, but also from overseas. When you're in Brussels, being from an airport, you can go through Bruxelles Midi, which is Centrale, which is pretty much a main train station, and there are several options from there. So it's something like 15 minutes away by cab. There are buses, trams, and many different options, which are all listed on our website. I think it's much easier to just check it out over there than...
Okay, I see you running a bus service in from the event as well.
Yeah, we do that on Saturday morning and on Sunday, afternoon and evening. We rent two large buses. We do non-stop travel from the venue to the main station, yeah.
So I guess people stay mostly in the center of town, do they?
Yeah, actually, yeah,
oh, absolutely. Okay. Let's move on to the event itself. How long has it been running?
Depending on which name you take, it's actually the first one was in 2000, so this is going to be the 12th edition. The first one had a different name, it was just FOSDEM for Open Source Developer European Meeting, but then the second one was FOSDEM, but essentially the first FOSDEM was in 2000, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Have you been involved with this the whole time?
I've been involved starting with the fourth one, if I remember correctly. It's been so long. it was just one person, all alone, Raphaël Baudouin, who did the first one. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty funny because he didn't actually think that there would be many people showing up. And he poked many people for speakers and, you know, hoped that just a very few would actually come. But everyone said yes, and 300 people showed up for the first one. So that was a very good start. And then a few other people joined, but essentially were, let's say, three people doing all the work before the conference, with obviously many more people present during the event. And I joined, I think it was the fourth one. So there were four of us doing everything before the event. And we started expanding with the options we had at the venue. A very important point of FOSDEM, which is really very, very special in many ways, is that we actually use a complete campus of university, the Université Libre de Bruxelles, which is just ULB in Brussels. Whom very, very kindly put their infrastructure to our disposal at a very, let's say, very good price, which makes many, many things possible, such as gives us the luxury of actually being able to pick sponsors.
And not commercial at all, I understand.
Sorry?
You're not very commercial at all.
No, not at all, actually. Not that we have a particular dislike of commercial events, but this is really centered around the community. And as far as sponsoring goes, we try to keep the number of sponsors really low and rather go for more long-term, mid-term relationships with those in order also to keep our independence. So sponsors don't get much in return. They get their name on the website and the folder we distribute to visitors, and that's about it. So they don't get a stand, they don't get vendor talks, etc., as it is customary at pretty much any other conference. And we actually we thank our sponsors for that as well, because they play. I mean, they're fine with that. And it's also possible because, I mean, the amount of our expenses are rather low. Mm-hmm. Especially for a conference that large. And that's mostly possible thanks to the ULB that puts all their infrastructure on the campus to our disposal.
Yep, fantastic. Although that said, of all the events, I've heard that Cisco sponsored your networks last year. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
And just because they show that type of sponsorship does actually work if somebody who hasn't been at a conference knew who sponsored your network. So kudos to them.
Yeah, we do have a brilliant network team too, though. They have been busy at doing the networking at FOSDEM for many, many years. So we try to improve each year. And obviously having support of Cisco, who also, help us around by... lending us three Cisco engineers during the conference. But it's mostly us organizing everything. And also, since last year, we have a very good relationship with the ULB networking team. And I mean, I believe we have the best network of any conference on the planet.
Seriously. Ben's fighting words there.
Oh, yeah.
So let me just get my head around the concept of having 400 events that you could go to, or 400 event topics that you could go and visit. How do you even begin to manage that?
We have different kinds of sessions at the conference. First of all, we have what we call the main tracks, which we have six tracks or topics with three or four talks in each. Those are speakers that we select and invite. So we put together that schedule, and that also includes keynotes additionally. And that's one part. So that's a classical, talk, session, lecture kind of thing. It happened in two of the two largest rooms we have. One has 1,400 seats, one has 800 seats. And another interesting part is we do lightning talks, which are probably increasingly popular in many conferences, I think. Those are short 15-minute talks. They're really fun because the speakers are forced to you know, make a point and be really quick with it, and you get to see a lot of very interesting projects in a short period of time. What we do as well is developer rooms. That's arguably the more important part of the conference, actually. So the concept there is that we have something like 15, 16 lecture rooms that we put at disposal of open source projects. We make a call for dev rooms, they apply, and then we elect, so unfortunately, as we get many, many more requests as we have rooms, we have to pick, and we give them the room. So they make the schedule in there themselves. Mm-hmm. It goes on a website, etc., but they arrange the management of the room itself. And we increasingly will try to, we welcome projects that go together around topics more and more, rather than individual projects, because we believe it's very much about collaboration. And I mostly see FOSDEM as a tool. And none of us make any financial, you know, benefit from organizing it. But the goal here is to be used as well as possible as a tool. And the big thing is pretty much everyone is there. So if you don't use it for collaboration and talking with people and exchanging ideas, and I believe you're not making very good use of it. Okay. So, those dev rooms or developer rooms, many, many projects, Mozilla, KDE, and GNOME, they're actually together in a cross-desktop dev room, and we have a virtualization dev room with many projects and all that kind of stuff. And that's really a very important part. And that makes, the biggest part, obviously, of those 400. Well, 400 is my estimation right now. I don't have all the schedules from the dev rooms yet, but certainly way above 300. So you pretty much have something like 15 to 20 sessions in parallel at all times during the weekend.
Fantastic. You do. You have a fantastic website, but you also have applications that will allow people to select where the talks are.
Yeah, there are applications for Android, and actually it should show up pretty soon in the store and in the market, I believe there is one for iPhone as well that should be around as well. We still have to poke the authors to make sure it's there, we also provide a booklet that is free to every visitor that has a complete schedule. It's on the website itself. We also provide a mobile version of the website. Might have to be online for that, although we have a brilliant Wi-Fi network everywhere. Yeah. I also always hack something that you can print. It's a huge grid of everything, but that shows up not quite yet. Will take a few more weeks.
Okay. How are the arrangements for the talks? Are they pretty much nailed down at this stage?
Main tracks are actually confirmed now, so I've put them on the website yesterday. So you can check those out on FOSDEM.org.
Just give the listeners a quick rundown. We have the keynotes, Welcome to FOSDEM, Rethinking System and Distro Development, Freedom Out of the Box, then the Future of UI Track, Beyond Traditional Mobile Linux, EFL, the Linux Toolkit, and coming up, LibreOffice, Wayland. Under hypervisors, we have Genesee, virtualization of KVM, Linux containers and OpenVZ, native KVM tools, network and IO track, voice, internet trials, Wild West of Unix IO, strategy from certain control group, the system track, CO app, then caching and tuning, core boot, bringing monitoring into the 21st century, Community Ombudsman, what we're doing wrong, Carrot and Stick, and then development track, we have LLVM, Apache Cassandra, and Dev2Ops. So that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
The main track.
And that's the small part of the conference.
So that starts, I guess what time would 1 month be there on a Friday evening?
Friday evening, I believe it starts around 5 or 6. The theory is, or in theory, we do have one of the nicest and largest bars of Brussels just for us, which is the Delirium Café. Funnily enough, it's actually in the Guinness Book of Records because they have more than 2,000 beers on their menu. And we have that place just for us on Friday. In practice, it turns out we have several bars in the street and pretty much get a hold of the whole street there. It's right in the center of Brussels next to the Grand Place, for those who know, who have been there or plan going there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we do have instructions how to get there on the website. It pretty much starts 5, 6, gets busy around 7, 8, and I've heard that there are still people there at 5 a.m. in the morning. So,
ouch. And I was drinking some Trappist beer.
Exactly.
With a very sore head in the morning. I don't think I'll be doing that until after the event is over.
Just a word of caution there. It's Belgian beer, so it's not your regular beer. So
yes, if you are
very cautious,
if you are going to have a beer, it should be a Belgian beer. That's my motto. Super. We plan to have a table at the event. Could you tell me a little bit about that area? So we didn't cover it yet.
Right, we do have stands as well, customary at conferences as well. I believe the head count will be around 48 stands, tables, with many projects having more than one, obviously. So it's not around 50 projects, but around 30, I think. They will be split on the three main buildings we have, especially for those who have been at FOSDEM, quite a lot already listening to this. We do have a new building additionally this year, which pretty much saves our bottoms as far as crowd control goes. And we'll actually move out many stands to that location because it just provides a lot more space. It's pretty bare bones, so we put tables over there and the projects do whatever they want with it. Now, typically it's, showcasing stuff. Obviously, we very much insist that they do, that they are open source projects and showcase open source applications and development, obviously.
Yes.
But it's very, very nice because you get to meet, that of course is true for the whole conference, but very much for the stands as well. You get to meet the people who do it. So you're not going to have some marketing folks talking about, their marketing folders, but you're going to talk with the people who actually implement that stuff on a day-to-day basis. And so that's very, very nice to just hang around and talk with the people over there. Yeah.
Fantastic. One thing that I've heard about FOSDEM, this will be my first time going and we're actually having a table, is that there's so much to do and see that it's very confusing for people. So do you have any advice for the FOSDEM newbie?
But certainly the complaint we get to hear most is that there are so many interesting things to do and see at the same time, which obviously you can't attend everything. But that's something we can live with, and that's better than, you don't risk being bored, that's for sure. I think actually you should look at the schedule a few days before the conference, because then you're sure that it will be complete, and see what your interests are. There are really many, many things, and you can spend a while trying to put together a schedule beforehand. That should help, because as I said, there's so much going on. It's a pretty busy weekend, but on the other hand, the atmosphere is very, very relaxed. It probably doesn't go more relaxed than this. So. Everyone you can talk to, just talk to them and don't be shy. And this is really, our motto is by the community for the community. It's really very relaxed. Everyone's very open. You can talk to anyone. That's really, really nice.
Super. I plan to snatch a few interviews while I'm down there. So people listening to this will be having FOSDEM for the whole year if it sounds like anything like what you're saying. So I just have a few more important questions. What's your favorite Trappist beer?
My favorite Trappist beer is the best one in the world. It's Westvleteren.
Yes, indeed.
That's the holy grail. It is extremely difficult to get hold of. Apart from that one, I'd say Triple Carmelit.
Yeah. not arguing with you on any of these points. yes, and I have one last question, which is also very important. Is it true that if a Dutch person asks for directions in Belgium, they will be sent the wrong way?
I don't know. I'm not Flemish, so I probably don't have the hate of Dutch people that the Flemish might have. I'm French and German speaking, so I don't know. Maybe ask in English. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen.
And, okay, super.
That's Brussels is quite cosmopolitan, so most people are French-speaking there, but you can get around with English very well. I mean, many tourists going there as well, so have no fear. It's not an English-speaking country, but it's not going to be an issue in Brussels at all.
No, it shouldn't be. And the conference itself seems to be in English more or less throughout?
Completely, everything. Just for practical reasons. I think 2 years ago there was one session that was in French, which was a meeting of the French-speaking Mozilla community that probably kind of made sense. Everything 100% is in English because we have people at the very least from everywhere, all around Europe going there, and even many from the US and Canada. So, it's completely in English. All the talks are in English. All the information is in English. Everyone from staff and team speaks English. And, yeah.
You also have the LPI certification exams going on as well.
Right. Just put that one online a few minutes ago, actually. LPI does exams during the weekend. So there are 5 sessions of almost 2 hours where you can take the exams. They have... LPIC 1, 2, 3. Well, it's also on the website, so there is a link, certifications, where you can check out. We had BSD Associates and Type 03 certifications past years, but I'm still waiting for an okay or not okay, so I can't confirm that yet, but it's likely to have that as well as options.
Okay. I see here also on the website that you have events for spouses and partners, things to do while...
Right.
Or people are getting the geek on.
The more politically correct term would be partner store. Then, we noticed that quite a few people do come around with their partner, and not every couple, not in every couple, that both are geekish enough. So we do arrange, I believe, 2 tours: one on Saturday, one on Sunday, with a guide through Brussels. So it's. Takes pretty much the afternoon, and that's very nice. There's a lot of things to see in Brussels, and the feedback, at least what I haven't done it. I'm a bit too busy on a weekend, but we've heard it's very well done.
Practical things like food and the like. Where is there catering at the university?
Yes, so there is a very large. Bar near one of the main rooms. There is a second bar that is a little bit more off on the campus. It's much quieter. So you can have breakfast and you can have some sandwiches, lots of sandwiches with different, typically Belgian sandwiches, large.
Yep.
And there's also, we have obviously fries, and pizza and pasta and all that kind of stuff, hot food at noon. And throughout the day, you can have all sorts of drinks, including Belgian beers, obviously.
So seriously, folks, that's a bad idea during the day.
It's a bad idea. It works really fine.
Yes, if you have to be Belgian and both.
We never had any issues with that, so I think it's fine.
Okay, super. Does it stop for lunch, or just go straight through, or what?
No, everything goes straight through. So we do have like 1 hour of break on Saturday for the main tracks, but on Sunday it goes through. And I mean, the dev rooms, every project manages their schedule on their own. They typically have a break, but not everyone does. Well, as I said, we provide the talks, and it's up to visitors to make the best of it. And good luck with that.
Okay. Yeah, well, it makes sense. It seems like you have done this before, and you know what you're doing, really.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. I mean, it's also what's important to say that the event is really free of charge. I mean, obviously, everyone already has enough expenses in terms of accommodation and going there. Brussels is not cheap, but it's not the most expensive. So compared to other capitals in Europe, it's certainly not the most expensive, but there are several options depending on your budget. We do accept donations, though. So you can get the very, very trendy, very, very nice and absolute street credit Fosden t-shirt for €25 donation.
Oh,
they are really nice. And that actually makes an important part. I would say that it makes something like 40% of our budget comes from the donation, so that actually keeps us, gives us the ability of staying independent of taking up too many sponsors or less accommodating sponsors. That's quite important. And you can donate more, and you get rebate on O'Reilly books or a book for free, depending on how much you donate. That's welcome.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We also do have what I wanted to mention as well. I mean, we're a team of, I'd say, pretty much 10 people organizing the event beforehand. But during the conference, there are many, many people helping out. And, I mean, it's quite stunning because I remember there was a group of 4 people coming from Italy last year. And out of those 4 people, at the very least, one was always helping out at our info desk and stuff like that. So many, many people from the community at large do help us out as well. It would be possible, obviously, without their support.
That's fantastic to hear. Quite a lot of people listening to this are from the States or Australia or different places around the world, Mexico or wherever. And obviously would love to come, but probably can't. So do you record any of these events?
Right. We probably won't do a live streaming. We tried that last year, but we only had a couple of hundreds of people following it. So it's not quite worth the hassle. Yep. Not sure we're going to do it again. But what we do is that we do record all the main track talks and the keynotes. We also record lightning talks. And we have kind of a conference in the conference, which is the cross distribution mini conference. I'm going to talk about that actually, where we record all the talks as well. Everything will be available through our website. It will take a few weeks to get encoded and get uploaded and put on mirrors, obviously. And we also put everything on YouTube. So just follow the website. We will announce, will be a couple of weeks after the event. So everything will be available. You can get it in an open format from our website or from YouTube.
What license are they under?
A Creative Commons license. I don't remember which one exactly.
Do you also gather the speaker presentation?
Yeah, we do our best.
Yes.
It's always... it's never that easy, but we do... We do annoy them on a regular basis to get the slides and stuff.
Okay, what we're trying to do here on the HPR network for our visually impaired listeners is to take the shows and augment them so that we describe the slides at the back. We're also looking for volunteers here to do that, so it helps us a lot if we can get the presentations. It makes it easier than having to pause a frame and then try and figure out what the text was that was flashing for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you can tell your presenters that that's what we're trying to do, that would help.
That's a good point. Yeah, indeed. Okay. I want to mention briefly the cross-distribution conference as well. Because there's a lot happening there. We actually started that 2 years ago. The thing is that there were many, many Linux distribution projects that were having a developer room at Fosdem. Quite obviously, they're quite an important part of open source. But there were so many that almost half the conference was taken by distributions. And at some point, I decided that, well, let's use FOSDEM a bit better as a tool, as I mentioned earlier, and let's just force them to be together.
Yes.
had to force them the first year. And some weren't that happy and said, oh, well, can we have our own dev room? You know, no. But it actually works out very, very well. And we have the sessions are, I mean, the first year was more of a time sharing kind of thing. You know, I do one Gentoo talk and then we one OpenSUSE talk. And,
yeah, yeah.
But now it's getting more and more into say, topics and talks that are really about collaborative kind of stuff and comparing and discussing pros and cons of approaches. And it actually even gives the ability to let's say, quoting smaller projects to be able to have a few talks there as well. So that really works out very, very well. It takes place in two of the largest rooms we have also during the whole weekend. So that's an important part of the conference as well. And works out really, really nice. And I'm very, very happy about that.
Okay, super fantastic. One of your requirements for tables is to have at the minimum two people at all times. So I would just like to put out the call here. I'm going, and I know that other HP members will be going, but I would like somebody to come and volunteer. Ideally, at least one, if not two people, could come and volunteer to help us out with the table, because while people are manning or owning the desk, I'd like other people to be going around and grabbing interviews for the coming year. So that's just volunteers again, admin@publicradio.org, please. So, Pascal, have we missed anything, or?
I think we've actually mentioned most important things for sure. Yeah. Well, just to make it really brief, it's a hell of a lot of fun being there. It's very busy, but it's a lot of fun. You get to talk to many, many people who really do that, and I would say that probably at least 90% of the people who go to FOSDEM are actively involved and contributing to open source projects. So not just hackers, you know, people doing all kinds of stuff, contributing, which doesn't mean that if you're genuinely interested but not contributing, you shouldn't go there. But just to give you an idea that it's really where everyone is, at the very least, as far as Europe is concerned, and it's a lot of fun.
Super. Just one or two questions about accessibility for our listeners who might be confined to wheelchairs. Is there are there rooms accessible?
Most are, not all of them. We do. I mean, the ideal would be to contact us beforehand at info@fosdem.org, and we can try to arrange that we can have someone who can help you out in that case, especially to help you guide you and give you a list of rooms that are accessible and which aren't. We're not very good on that, I have to say. That's the kind of stuff we should mention on the website, but we don't. But we do our best to help as far as we can during the conference.
Super. Do you have any age restrictions on any of the events?
I guess. Sorry.
Do you have any age restrictions on any of the events? Are they family friendly, or would you advise people?
No, there are no age restrictions at all. No,
apart from the pub and Friday night.
Yes, obviously you have to be. Yeah, I think it's Belgium. In Belgium, it's 16, I think.
Okay. Super. Listen, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us, and of course if there's anything that you'd like to update our listeners on, fire me in an email or we can arrange another interview later on.
Sure.
I look forward to meeting you at the event, and hope it goes very well for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, and yeah, see you there.
Okay.
Yeah, bye bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.